Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for coming, indeed, very sincerely. Copies of the big communique should be available to you all at the end of this session. Is it okay, yeah? It will be available, yeah? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Russia was unable to join the communique. And you will understand that it is only right that I do not explain on their behalf why they decided to do so. I'm sure they will do it on their own. And this is very regrettable, but it happened once before in 2008, during the time of my predecessor. This, of course, in no way reduces the role of the Russian Federation in the big steering board, which we respect. The communique lays out the conclusions of our meeting over the last 2 days, but I wanted to speak to you also directly to give you an idea of the thinking behind some of these conclusions. First of all, let me tell you that the discussion has been open, concrete, substantial and comprehensive, and it is no secret that there is a serious concern within the international community about the failure of Bosnia and Herzegovina's political leadership and institutions to meet the requirement for Euro-Atlantic integration and to take the country forward. The message from the PIC steering board is very simple. Political leaders and institutions, get your act together and start delivering concrete results for the benefit of the citizens and the country. Yesterday, the PIC was briefed by Council of Ministers Chair Bevanda and one of his two deputies, Minister of Finance Spiric, on what both acknowledged to be a rather disappointing lack of progress on several issues facing the ruling coalition in the state institutions. But of course, there was lack of progress both inside the government, but I think even more so in the parliament at state level, because since 2010, only 4 laws have been adopted, apart from the budget, which was also adopted. Yeah. After its meeting with the BIH representatives, the PIC steering board began a detailed analysis of the difficult points in the country's progress, and specifically we discussed also the following issues. The non-implementation of the European Court ruling in the Sejdić-Finci case and other obstacles to the country's progress on the EU path. A worrying pattern of non-implementation of rulings by the highest court in the country, the BIH Constitutional Court, and the BIH Constitutional Court has itself, in 35 instances, listed non-implementation. So this is not a single case or an exception like Mostar, it is a pattern, and it's a worrisome pattern. We discussed also the failure to take the minimal steps needed to resolve defense property and also to unblock BIH participation in NATO's membership action plan and in this sense also to advance the 5+2 agenda for closure of the OHR. It is, I think, timely to recall that as far as military property is concerned, we are just speaking about 63 cases. And half of them are actually solved, and only the rest needs some work, but it needs especially a political will. We spoke about the failure to end government institutional paralysis in the Federation, the failure to organize democratic representation and efficient government structures in Mostar, and Rod will speak more about Mostar. We spoke about the failure to address an economic crisis that is spreading poverty, the failure to tackle corruption, and the failure to abandon divisive rhetoric and start focusing on solutions to the urgent problems of citizens. These failures stand in stark contrast to the advances made in neighboring countries, which resulted in large part from the willingness of these countries and the willingness of the leaders to lead the country. It's obvious, if you're a leader, you have to lead the country. But sometimes it's not the case. Many delegations of the PIC steering board wondered, with good reason, how it is that if Serbia leaders had the courage and willingness to compromise on an issue as difficult as Kosovo, and that at the same time BIH leaders were unable to compromise on Sejdet Finci. And I would like to ask you, not demagogically, but really in substance, I would like to ask you, what is more difficult, to solve a case like Kosovo and Serbia, or to solve the case of Sejdet Finci? Or even more drastic, to solve the issue of Kosovo in Serbia, or to solve the Mostar issue? What is more difficult? I think political leaders should seriously think about it. And we have this very good example from the neighborhood. A number of delegations also expressed dismay at the apparent lack of urgency of sense of responsibility. Given that the policy of the PIC steering board, the OHR, and the entire international community over the last several years has been to leave decision-making almost entirely with the BIH institutions, attempts at blaming the international community for the country's problems are simply hollow excuses. Let me stress that the picture that has emerged in one of failing leaders, I would like to stress, we are speaking about failing leaders, not about failing citizens. Responsibility for Bosnia and Herzegovina's lack of progress can be laid at the door of a small number of politicians. And this small number of politicians, unfortunately, is not delivering. Maybe you will read also about the details which emerged today from the European Parliament, where Doris Pack wanted to introduce a resolution about Bosnia and Herzegovina. This resolution will be accepted or was accepted, but she also wanted to introduce an amendment to this resolution on Bosnia and Herzegovina, whereby the membership of the Council of Europe would be suspended for Bosnia and Herzegovina, and whereby also IPA funds and the interim agreement would also be suspended. This amendment did not go through. It failed, but it failed very narrowly. Yeah? So 305 deputies voted against the amendment, and 278 voted in favor of the amendment. So it was a very narrow vote, and it could almost happen, if 14 or 15 votes would switch, it could happen that this amendment would go through, and Bosnia would be suspended from the Council of Europe membership, IPA funds, and the interim agreement. So I think this is a very alarming situation, and an alarm bell ringing to BIH and its political leadership. And actually, it's in the same tune as the warning of Stefan Füle. But details I'm sure you will read later, because this happened only today. The PIC membership also discussed the ongoing federation reform initiative, and it was made clear that an element of institutional and administrative reform will help to reduce cost of government and make it more efficient. And the political directors expressed their support for initiatives in this field, especially because it came also from local specialists of local experts. And of course, the sentiment was also raised and voiced that this federation reform should also take into account Washington and the Dayton Agreement and the Dayton Settlement. But it is also clear that if the institutions that are already in place are supported and strengthened, this is also important to know, and if these institutions are strengthened, politicians won't be able to block the system for their own ends. The laws, the courts, the regulatory agencies and statutory bodies are there to protect citizens and to ensure that politicians are accountable. These institutions must be supported and must be strengthened, and they have our support, of course, of the international community. In this respect, I would stress that the PIC took note of the fact that the international community and in Bosnia-Herzegovina is not primarily only dealing with half a dozen of powerful men, politicians. No, our engagement is with 4 million citizens and for the 4 million citizens. It is clear that a tiny minority of political leaders have been unable or unwilling to represent the interests of these 4 million citizens. And unfortunately, problems are not decreasing, they are rather increasing. The PIC discussed ways of addressing specific challenges, including the Federation crisis, the obstacles that have been placed in the way of Euro-Atlantic integration, the repeated challenges to the Dayton settlement and to the sovereignty of Bosnia and Herzegovina, the situation in Mostar, and the pain being inflicted on citizens by the economic crisis. One area that directly affects citizens, in which was discussed in some detail, was also the issue of the single identification number, Jedinstveni matični broj. A temporary solution, which would maintain a single system regulated at state level, is within easy reach, yet some chose to obstruct as a pretense for breaking the system apart. And there were a few members of the PIC steering board who said that if this issue is not solved in a proper way, then this could also jeopardize the issuance of passports, but especially also the travel of Bosnia-Herzegovinian citizens abroad if they would not have the proper joint identification number, which the Council of Ministers has to adopt. Without the single system of citizen numbers, the ability of BiH citizens to get visas may be jeopardized for some countries who still need visas. It may be jeopardized in future. Moreover, from the point of view of the Dayton Agreement, it is simply not acceptable for lower levels of government, like entities, to unilaterally regulate matters which are already regulated under state legislation. With regard to Srebrenica and the Budak Church, clear views were expressed, and please refer to our communique, which is quite explicit and extensive on this issue of the Budak Church close to Potočari. In the past, we have called on leaders to adopt more constructive and realistic postures. We have worked with them, and wherever possible, we have supported them. But of course, the result is not encouraging, and citizens, civil society, will have to ask themselves whether changes are necessary or not, and how long this can continue. I'm now going to hand over the floor to my principal deputy, Ambassador Moore, to give you a more detailed assessment of the PIC discussion as it related to Mostar. Ambassador Moore, you have the floor.
Hvala šefe, ja ću nastaviti na engleskom jeziku također. Not going to talk to you about Brčko today, I'm going to talk to you about Mostar. As a matter of fact, there was a substantial discussion on Mostar. Perhaps some of the most extensive discussion during the PIC, I think, was focused on the situation, the political impasse, the crisis in Mostar. And I think when you get a copy of the communique, you will see that some of the strongest language, at least in my opinion, is in the paragraph dedicated to Mostar. And that's for a very straightforward reason. I think the international community, and certainly the ambassadors represented in this room yesterday and today, are simply in disbelief that this issue has not been resolved by local political leaders in the 2.5 years since the Constitutional Court issued its ruling. I think they use words such as deploring the failure of local political parties to resolve this issue in the last 2.5 years. This is an incredibly important issue, certainly not only in our view, but in the views of senior leadership of this country, as I'll mention in a moment. The obligation to respect the rulings of the Constitutional Court of this country, which is, after all, the highest court in Bosnia-Herzegovina, stem directly from the Dayton Peace Agreement, specifically from Annex 4, the Constitution, which specifies that decisions of the Constitutional Court are final and binding. It was significant, I think, for the ambassadors in their discussion yesterday with the Chairman of the Council of Ministers, Bevanda, to hear him say repeatedly to us, in a room of well over 100 people, dozens of ambassadors, that decisions, it is simply unacceptable that decisions of the Constitutional Court can be ignored. He even went so far as to note correctly that it is a crime the criminal act, krivično delo, for decisions of the Constitutional Court not to be implemented. And of course, the crisis in Mostar originates directly from a failure of the local political parties to do just that, to respect the rulings of the highest court in this country. I think you're all aware that 7 months ago, again in this room, OHR, with the full support of the steering board, initiated and launched a process to try to facilitate a compromise solution for the problem of the crisis in Mostar. And we launched this process because we were convinced then, and we are convinced today, and not just we, the entire international community, as represented in the steering board, is convinced that this issue in Mostar is solvable. Certainly, in my view, as the High Representative said, it's a less complicated issue than Kosovo. We believe very strongly that there are available compromises that would be fully in line with the decisions of the court, that would be in line with the Constitution of the Federation and the Canton, and of course, that would in no way jeopardize or harm the interests or any constituent people in Mostar. This is a fixable problem. It is a solvable problem with a minimal dose of goodwill and creativity. So as part of this facilitation effort, we have held well over 100 meetings with 8 political parties who are represented in Mostar and in the state parliament. We've had innumerable telephone conversations with them. And we've had dozens of coordination sessions with steering board. Matter of fact, we have kept the PIC steering board involved, informed, and supportive of this facilitation effort every step of the way. We have done nothing, excuse me, without fully consulting with the steering board. The bad news, and let me start with the bad news, is that it was and is the unanimous view of the steering board that the two largest parties represented in Mostar, the SDA and the HDZ-BIH, have so far been wholly inflexible and have shown zero willingness to consider possible compromise solutions in Mostar. When we launched this process last October, in this room with all 8 parties, every single party, including those two that I just mentioned, committed to us, not just to the High Representative and me, committed to the entire steering board that they would participate in this process on the basis with an expectation that a compromise would be the only solution and a recognition that no party would attain all of its objectives. Unfortunately, the PIC steering board concluded today that those two parties, the SDA and the HDZ-BIH, have not lived up to the commitment they made to the steering board to participate in this process on that basis. Not only have they rejected all new ideas that have been put on the table by other participants in this process, but they are still sticking stubbornly to the very same ideas, the very same proposals which they had before this facilitation process started. Despite the acknowledgement of virtually every participant in this process that the ideas of those parties do not have the political support and will not have the political support to be adopted in local institutions. On the other hand, the good news is that the majority of the 8 participants in this process have so far demonstrated a willingness to consider new ideas, and these are ideas that could potentially lead to a compromise solution. And many of these ideas are encapsulated in a so-called compromise framework document, which was first discussed with all 8 participating parties about 2 months ago. I saw a press report yesterday or the day before suggesting that there was a new document out there. That's actually not accurate. This is a document which was prepared about 2 months ago and shared with all 8 participating parties. What I think is significant is that the PIC steering board today publicly and explicitly endorsed this compromise framework document as the most realistic basis, currently available at least, upon which a compromise solution can be constructed and which would ensure the implementation of the rulings of the Constitutional Court of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Equally significantly, in my opinion, the The steering board called on the OHR to bring the facilitation process to a conclusion, but to bring it to a conclusion on the basis of very focused and targeted talks, which would be based upon the parameters in this compromise framework document. And these parameters are narrower than when we started this facilitation process 7 months ago. And I think it's also significant, and you'll see this language in the communique, that the steering board made it clear that any party that fails to agree to a compromise solution on this basis will bear responsibility for failing to meet its obligations under the peace agreement. This is a very weighty responsibility, certainly, in our opinion. Now, all 8 parties will be invited to participate in these talks, and I can tell you that when this idea had been informally discussed with them, that the large majority of parties had already agreed to participate in talks on the basis of the parameters, on the basis of the parameters of this compromise framework document. We certainly hope that all parties will take up this opportunity to try to finally bring this matter to a close. I think it's truly a real opportunity to resolve a crisis which has resulted in very real consequences for the people living in Mostar, the only people in this country who were unable to vote late last year. I think that's a travesty that that's the case. We saw the fiscal crisis, which had very concrete consequences for people in Mostar. The city council is not functioning in Mostar, and so on and so on and so on. There's an opportunity to resolve this issue now, and we certainly hope and expect that the parties will reach for and take advantage of that opportunity. Thank you.